the best way I can describe it is any Texas male with a pickup truck, a front loader, or a skid steer was there just trying to help. And almost too many. And in a lot of cases, police were saying they're getting in the way.
That is KRLD radio reporter Chris Fox, who is in Kerrville, Texas, and part of our CBS radio team. And we had checked in with Chris literally to just see what is the latest out of Texas. And we specifically wanted to talk about people helping others, those who are suffering the most in Texas, whether it is those who lost a person, a loved one, obviously, those who lost their properties. I mean, this was a devastating, horrific, deadly flood that we're still in the midst of right now, in the cleanup, if you will, the rescue recovery efforts, all of that. And of course, naturally, the average person wants to help, right? We want to help. But I did a little bit of legwork for you. Did a little bit of work and found out that right now the typical suspects, if you will, the American Red Cross Connecticut chapter, AmeriCares, the National Guard, the people we would expect to have volunteers go down after a natural disaster, none of them have anyone who is there on the grounds right now. We do not have Connecticut boots on the ground in Texas. Now, could there be individuals who go down because they have family there or a connection? Sure. But I'm talking about the big entities that would be some of the driving forces that would say, hey, we need this, this, and this, or we need donations for this, this, and this. Right now, Connecticut has none of that. That's not happening. And as Chris just outlined for you, a big reason is because there's not even really solid ground. We're really not even sure what the needs are at this point, kind of from, you know, taking the lens back a little bit. And right now they're just sort of in a shock and a turmoil of we need to just find everybody, account for as many people as we can, and then we can start to assess the situation. Why am I telling you all this? Well, because whenever there's a tragedy that happens, scammers love to prey on the vulnerable. They love to take advantage of your heart, your kindness, you're wanting to give back. And so that's where Kristen Johnson of the Better Business Bureau is here to make sure you don't get duped and let people know how they can help victims of the Texas flooding. Welcome back, Kristen. I'm so glad to have you here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So the reason I give that whole spiel is because I first and foremost want people to know that as of right now, and I would imagine when I spoke to all those entities I just mentioned, I don't think we're going to have people physically in Texas, at least for days, maybe even a couple weeks or so. So I guess let's start there and just kind of knowing the facts, because you're probably going to see, you know, immediately, oh, help this entity. They're already there. And in fact, that's not the case. I just made a few phone calls. It was as simple as that. And I got confirmation from all those entities.
Logistically, it's going to be very difficult for many charities to get food and clothing donations to the people who need it the most. That's why cash is king at this moment. Monetary donations to trustworthy organizations with boots on the ground will have the biggest impact.
So I want to obviously make sure people know how they even know, first and foremost, you know, if a charitable organization, how do they even know if they're involved with Texas right now?
So it's a very short list right now because of what you just said. In fact, BBB.org and Give.org accredits charities just like we do businesses. And so what we want people to know is that you want to not only find one that is trustworthy, but one that has had the experience of dealing with this sort of relief and already has boots on the ground. And right now there are only three organizations that are BBB accredited that have this type of experience and are there presently. It's the American Red Cross, Salvation Army, and Matthew 25 Ministries. Now that list will grow. It's a living list. It will grow as it becomes more logistically possible for people to get down there. But right now, if you donate clothes to a charity here in Connecticut, they're not going to be able to truck it down to Texas and get it to those people. That's not where they are at in the recovery process right now. And it's going to be a very long recovery process. There will be many opportunities to donate along the way. So if you're feeling pressure to donate right now, consider that a red flag.
And I think to your point, Kristen Johnson, I love this. You know, you give five tips to supporting Texas flood victims right now. Recognize the phases of disaster relief. I think that is probably one of the most key, I mean, before anything else, I think it's understanding where we're at. Because again, it's certainly not to knock the people who have good hearts. In fact, I would say I would love to focus more on the good acts of service, the people who are wanting to step up, use their trucks, use, you know, whatever it is that they can, donate the things, their coats, whatever. I think that's beautiful. I think that's a great thing. I don't want to rain on anyone's parade. But it's understanding where we're at and that there's a place and a time for those different donations. And donations are, like you said, going to change organizations' involvement. That's going to change over time, and you got to track it.
And many well-intentioned charities, as you just mentioned, will pop up during this time of need. You know, people, their hearts grow bigger in size whenever there's a disaster, and especially when it's on U.S. soil. However, right now, they're still in that rescue, starting into the recovery, right, phase, and then there's going to be the rebuilding phase eventually. So there's many phases to this. And the people who do have boots on the ground, they are right there. They know what people need. They can take your monetary donation and they can purchase those things. Mm-hmm. They don't need to wait for a truck to come from Connecticut. So that's why you want to do your research. You want to find the charities that are already present. Find out how that money is going to be spent. And then you can donate to those charities financially, though.
Yeah, well, and it reminds me, too, Kristen, of the, you know, I love what you wrote here, which is while much of the attention focuses on the first 72 hours of the disaster, charities provide vital support well beyond that period. It reminds me a lot of when somebody experiences a death in the family. You've got everyone who shows up to the funeral, to the wake, and for a couple of weeks, maybe they offer meals or they check in or whatever. And then slowly, when a month goes by, a few months go by, certainly a year, people move on with their lives. But the tragedy still lives. Correct. And I think that's the big thing here is if in, I'm not, again, this is not to knock people's character, but if you truly care about what's going on in Texas, it takes patience and waiting for the direction. And I would say certainly, you know, when there's call to action, certainly respond. But I think the bigger thing is caring about Texas in a month or two or 3 months when there's certainly more of a definitive answer, when we know what needs are there and then filling them. I mean, for example, I think whatever, you know, we don't know the extent of the damage. But if there are, for example, like we knew here when the August flooding happened, we knew that a preschool, for example, in Oxford, that was flooded out completely. So we didn't know what that was going to mean for programming. And so we waited for those preschool teachers to tell us we found a new facility. However, you know, a month later, we're going to need this, 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 and this. Okay. So now let's try to get all of these things to fill that classroom. But again, until we know what the losses are, there, you know, it doesn't really help, I would say, that in the first week, everyone jumps on board, but then sort of forgets that we still got to figure out what the needs are later down the road.
Right. And they're still addressing that themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But once they do, you want to make sure that you know how your money is being spent. Is it impacting the people who need it the most, whether it's those seeking safety in shelters or needing access to food and water, whatever it is, you want to make sure your money is going to the right place. And so many times, unfortunately, you know, we donate and then we just assume, but yeah. We shouldn't assume.
Yeah.
A lot of times donation scams go underreported because we don't even realize it until it gets big enough that it makes the news, which is why, just like when you're researching a business online, you take that extra 10, 15 minutes and you research the charity as well. And you can do that at give.org.
Yeah. Well, and like you said too, Kristen, it's not enough for a charity to say, we're donating to Texas. And mm-hmm. What does that mean? You know
right.
What I'm saying?
Well,
and I don't mean to laugh,
spent?
But it's true. The amount of people are like, I gave to Texas. What'd you do? No, I just donated money. Right. But where did your money go? Ask those questions. You have the right to do that, right, Kristen? I mean, you can ask those questions. If it's not addressed on the website or something, call them. Ask where your money's going.
You absolutely should, and they should have a website. And the website should track how they spend their money, how much their CEO gets, you know, every little part of that charity, you know, every donation is probably, if you do it via credit card, there's going to be a tacked on fee for that charity. So if they say 100% of your donation is going to those in need, that's not true, because there's going to be a credit card fee that they have to incur. They're not all volunteers, right? They're paying people in most cases, also who work for that organization. So you want to do all that research and see, well, what percent of my donation is actually going to go to those who need it the most?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you said, I mean, give.org, something that the Better Business Bureau really utilizes. I mean, these are charities that meet all 20 of the BBB standards for charity accountability. So check out give.org. We're also going to put a lot of these resources on our website, voiceofct.com. And Kristen Johnson of the Better Business Bureau, I so appreciate you and the work that the Better Business Bureau does for Connecticut and in getting this information out there. Like I said, it's nothing to feel badly about. If anything, I think it's beautiful that so many people want to give. I'd rather tell stories of the beautiful things people are doing to support others who are hurting. But, you know, don't get duped in the meantime. And also just understand sometimes it's waiting and then giving when the time is right. That will actually be the most effective if you really want to help out Texas right now.
Yes, that's true. And we will continue to update you if we get any new information of verified charities or any scams that are out there.
I really appreciate that. Kristen Johnson of the Better Business Bureau, thank you so much. And for those of you who are looking to donate or want to just learn more support, we're going to put links on our website, voiceofct.com.